Good morning. Will you turn to Genesis chapter 3, please? Genesis chapter 3. What is wrong with our planet? What is wrong with planet Earth? What is troubling our Earth? I'm speaking today on this in response to a lot of media attention to climate change and how we might fix our environment and the kind of frightening things that are happening around us. We will read the Bible to see what it says about our planet. But before we ask what's wrong with the planet, we should answer another question. Who's in charge of the planet? And the Bible is very clear about this. God, the Creator, is in charge of this planet. There is summer and winter every year because God promised Noah he would do that as long as the earth lasted. There is seed time and harvest every year because God promised that he would do that. Psalm 104 says that God gives water to the animals in our fields and he gives water to the wild animals. God gives plants for people to cultivate, and God brings food for us out of the earth. God waters the trees, and he uses trees to give birds places for their nests. God makes places that are just right for mountain goats and for badgers. God makes sure all these animals have homes. Now, when the lions roar, they're asking God for food. How about that? And he feeds them. All creatures look to you to give them food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. Psalm 104, God is in charge of the planet. We're having cold weather right now. God sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads snow like wool and scatters frost like ashes. He hurls down hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his words and melts them. He stirs up his breezes and water flows. We look forward to that happening in spring. I'm reading there from Psalm 147. Jesus said we could trust God to take care of our food and our clothing, because we see that birds don't store up food, yet God feeds them. Flowers don't have to work to have nice clothes, yet they look wonderful because God clothes them. So, says Jesus, why do you worry about clothes? Listen, and God also sends the hard things. God sends 7 years of huge harvest, and then God sends 7 years of no harvest at all. God can send far too many frogs. God sends far too many flies. God sends diseases that kill livestock. God sends plagues that make humans suffer. God sends terrible hail that destroys everything. God can send far too many locusts. They eat everything that's green. There's no food left for people or for animals. God sends earthquakes and volcanoes. In a few places, the Old Testament describes God as a warrior God going to battle. God goes to battle. Psalm 18 is a good example of this. And when God goes to war, he uses what we call natural disasters. God uses earthquakes, fire, storms, darkness, lightning, terrible winds, hailstones, tsunamis. These are God's weapon. So people, God is in charge of what happens on earth. Humans have done things that are bad for the land and the air and the water. That is true, and we are certainly right to make efforts to correct that. We have not been taking good care of earth, and the ones who work to take care of earth are doing a good thing, and the ones who want to move things in the right direction are doing a good work. But we are not in charge of what happens. In the last year, we have had heat, and we've had drought, and we have had floods, and now it's been remarkably cold. God has always done such things, and he still does. One more thing before we talk about what's wrong with our planet. There is a lot right about our planet. We could talk a long time about what is good and right about our planet. Keep that in mind. But in spite of that, something is wrong. What's wrong with our planet? Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. This is the sin of Adam and Eve. To Adam, God said, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field." Cursed is the ground because of you. Human sin immediately damaged the environment. That's what I want you to get. The word for ground here is Hebrew eretz. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the eretz. So eretz can mean earth or land or ground. Cursed is the ground, eretz. So the ground by human sin was corrupted somehow. And this affects plant life too. Some plants will now be a problem. So human sin quickly affected the environment, the ground itself, and plant life. A little earlier it says in Genesis 3:14, the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all wild animals." Are livestock and wild animals affected by this too? Cursed are you above all livestock and above all wild animals. I did some digging around in Hebrew. This could certainly mean cursed are you more than all livestock and more than all animals. If the writer wanted to say that the serpent was more cursed than the other animals, this is how he would say it. Commentators don't like that, but that's what it sounds like. If God was just cursing serpents, why mention livestock and wild animals at all? He would just say the serpent is cursed. So human sin damaged the ground, and it affected plant life. And so it does not seem a big step to include animals in this too. All of this happened by human sin. Land and animals in the flood story. Genesis 6, verse 6. Land and animals in the flood story. Genesis 6, 6. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, "I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move on the ground, for I regret that I have made them." But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. When God says at the end here, "I regret that I made them," it sounds like he's also sorry he made animals and birds. Could that be true? Let's keep reading. Verse 11, Genesis 6:11. "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all flesh on earth had corrupted its ways." So this is earth, eretz. Again, God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all flesh on earth had corrupted its ways. So the earth is separate here from all flesh. The earth itself is corrupt, defiled, contaminated, spiritually polluted, because all flesh on earth has corrupted its ways. So the NIV uses human race in verse 12 and 13, but in Hebrew it says all flesh. Back in verse 7, God said he was going to destroy the human race and also all the animals and the birds. That's what all flesh is. God is sorry he made them all, the human race and the animals and the birds. So when we read all flesh in verse 12 and 13, we should not be thinking only humans. We should be thinking everything he listed in verse 7. Humans and animals both. That is what all flesh is. God said to Noah, "I'm going to put an end to all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am going to destroy both them and the earth." So all flesh had become violent and corrupt, and the earth itself apart from people and animals, was filled with violence. How does that work? God will certainly destroy people and animals and the earth itself. Humans and animals and the earth itself were ruined, polluted, sin-sick, offensive to God. These were all offensive to God because they were polluted, contaminated, and sin-sick. You see, it was not only the first sin of Adam and Eve that brought trouble on earth. By the time of the flood, the sin of humans at that time, their violence ruined the human race, and it also ruined animals. It spread to animals, and it also ruined the earth itself. Human sin at the time of the flood increased the damage to animals and the earth itself farther than what Adam and Eve had done. Animals are damaged by human sin, and clearly the earth itself has become polluted with violence. Defiled land and sick land. Now we're going to Leviticus 18. In Leviticus 18, Moses has given a long list of sexual sins that Israelites shall not do. Many things are included. Moses concentrated particularly on incest on that list. And then he says this in Leviticus 18:24. Do not defile yourselves in any of these ways, because this is how the nations that I'm going to drive out before you became defiled. Even the land was defiled, so I punished it for its sin, and the land vomited out its inhabitants. All these things were done by the people who lived in the land before you, and the land became defiled. And if you defile the land, it will vomit you out, as it vomited out the nations that were before you. So the Canaanites became defiled because they sinned in these ways. That's how it starts. And the Canaanites were so defiled that it spread to the land itself, to the ground, to the arets. The land was contaminated by the sexual sin of the humans, and the land itself became offensive to God. And it says God punished the land for this. I mean, I don't know what's going on there. That's outside of my realm, but that is what it says. And then the land vomited out its inhabitants. The land itself, the arets, got rid of the people because the people were making the land sick, so the land puked them out. This happened to Israel because those Canaanites did these things, says Moses. And Israel, if you sin in these ways, if you do these same things, the land will get sick of you and puke you out, just like it did with the nations there before you. And folks, in 600 or 700 years, that is what happened. The sins of Israel made the land sick, and the land got rid of the people. Cultures that are not shaped by Western European society, simpler cultures, saw that there's a spiritual component to rivers and trees and mountains and valleys. Animals and lakes and rains and storms are all spiritual realities as well as material realities. All of creation has some kind of spiritual essence as well as physical. And our Western society with science and so on has taken away from that. All we know about is molecules. But the ancient societies knew that there was a spiritual component here. And the real damage coming from humans is not industrial waste. It is our rebellion against God and what people do to people. What pollutes the environment is human rebellion against God and what people do to people. That is what contaminates earth and pollutes it. Human sin sickness is contagious. It spreads. And it was like that from the start, and human sin sickness spreads to the land and to the plants and to the animals. We're going to look at two more scriptures. Isaiah 24. The heavens and the earth on Isaiah 24. Isaiah 24, verse 4. The earth dries up and withers. The world languishes and withers. The heavens languish with the earth. The earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed the laws, violated the statutes, and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth. Its people must bear their guilt. The earth dries up and withers, says Isaiah. The world languishes. Folks, there was no toxic waste in Isaiah's day. They had none of our industrial problems of garbage in the air and water and land. But in Isaiah's day, the earth was withering and languishing. And even the heavens. Did you notice that? Isaiah includes the heavens in what happens to earth. Does the contamination of human sin go farther than just our planet? And what does he say is wrong with our earth? The earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed God's laws, violated God's statutes, and broken the everlasting covenant with God. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth. Its people must bear their guilt. Human behavior to God and to one another is the problem with our planet. One more scripture. Romans chapter 8. All creation suffer as our bodies suffer. All creation suffers as our bodies suffer. Romans 8, verse 18. In this section of Romans, Paul reminds us about our hope in Christ and the way God will make us glorious. So what's important here is that Paul says our bodies and all creation are in this together. Our bodies are in bondage to decay. We get weak. We get sick. We suffer, and we are going to die. It is going to happen. All creation joins us in all of this. When we sinned against God, it had immediate effects on our bodies, on all human bodies, and all creation was a part of this from the very start. Earth, water, air, animals, plants, weather, sun, moon, planets, stars, the works, all creation, the whole world of nature, everything in nature that is not human. We're all in this together. Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. He's talking here about the curse in Genesis 3, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. So, what's wrong with creation? It was subjected to futility, to frustration. Not its own doing, but the God who cursed it because of human sin. So creation is in bondage to decay. Creation groans and labors like in pain of childbirth right up to the present time. This is what our life is like, waiting for redemption, and all creation is right there beside us in this. We know, he says, that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. We know. This is Paul writing to Christians in Rome 2,000 years ago. Would the Roman Christians have said, when they read this letter, they knew that? Yeah, we know that, perhaps. But at least this, Paul is confident that once he says that, they will know what he's talking about. Yes, Paul, you are right. We can see that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth up to the present time. Okay, they know that. And they can look around them and they can see that. 800 years before this, Isaiah could write, that earth and heaven were withering and languishing because of human sin. That's 800 years before Paul. And Paul, now 2,000 years ago, said the evidence was clear that at that time, creation was groaning as it suffered and deteriorated. And as we long for our bodies to be renewed, so also creation is longing for the same renewal, which will happen at the same time. So people are right to take better care of our planet. In no way do I mean to say that doesn't matter, or it doesn't matter what we do with our planet. It does matter, and let's do better. Let's be part of the solution and not part of the problem. But understand that if we cleaned all the air and water and land today, and we fixed the ozone layer today, every scripture we've read is still true. And all creation is still in bondage to decay, and that was clear in Rome 2,000 years ago. And the reason is that the human race is sin-sick, and we have contaminated all creation by what we have done to God and to one another. So our job is not to save the planet. Our planet is as doomed as our own bodies, and for the same reason. And God has a plan to save them both. And our job is to serve the living God and to wait for His Son, Jesus, who will renew all of this when He returns. Don't despair. There is a huge amount right with this planet. The signs of God are all over the place every single day. There is beauty and life everywhere and reason to thank God everywhere. The heavens still declare the glory of God, and the visible creation still tells us the important things about our great God. This cold weather shows that God does just what He wants. Cold and ice and snow and clouds and stormy winds still do His bidding, just like in Psalm 148. God told Noah that as long as earth lasted, there would be summer and winter. There would be seed time and harvest. That's not just spring and fall. Seed time and harvest means the earth will produce food every year. And there will be day and night. Every evening, every morning, God keeps His Noah promise. Because God still decides every day what's going to happen and how this will go. We are in His hands. Amen. Let's pray. O God, You are the maker and sustainer of heaven and earth. Guide us to live well with what You have given. Thank You for Your care. Thank You for providing for us from the earth. Thank You for giving us this beautiful place and for all Your glory that still shines through all of us. We trust in You to care for us and to see us through. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.